You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl may save her. Better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. And I'm happy, happy, happy that we have such a wonderful guest today, one of my favorite people. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you to our show. And I'll ask our guest, will you please introduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is Polly McQueen. I'm a licensed practicing professional counselor. And I'm just happy to be here. I just want to just share some thoughts about getting to the happy and making sure you practice what you preach or do what you say you're going to do.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to our show. We're glad you're here. Okay, I'm getting really excited because I know you have some good wisdom for us. What are you passionate about these days?
Right now, I'm kind of focusing on doing what makes your own self happy, not what other people want to project upon you. And I can kind of share a little bit how I kind of came to this thought and realization of we're trying to do so many things for so many people, but the person that we really need to please is ourselves.
Wow. Well, God must have sent you here just to talk to me, because that's an area where I am really struggling. I mean it. I'm absolutely struggling in that area. So please help us and all of our friends in 160 countries and all 50 states. Help us.
Well, I kind of want to share, now, it's not the greatest story, but it is a story no less. This is what happened to me. For years, I thought, you go to school, you do what you need to do, you graduate, and you move to a big city. So, of course, you move to a big city. I did. I fell into the whole moving at, 2,000, you know. So such a cool number to move and do whatever. So I was like, hey, I'm moving to a big city. So I decided to move to a big city, Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia. So I said, of course, I'm going to be in a big city. I'm going to meet someone, I'm going to get married, and life is going to be great, and I have a good job. This is what happened, is I got there, I got the job. Actually, I interviewed for the job before I got there, started working, enjoying my life and everything, series of dates, but nothing really stuck, but, you know, just my first year out there, nothing's going on. It's not a problem, you know, just because I moved to a big city from a smaller city doesn't mean it's automatically add water and stir. And after it came to be 2010, I was talking to a good girlfriend of mine, and she pretty much put me on notice and said, you know, you've been saying the same stick for 10 years.
Wow.
I had kept saying, oh, in 4 years, hopefully I'll meet someone and do this. I had been saying the same line, and it didn't register for me that I had been saying the same thing for 4 years. So we had a good laugh about that. And from like 2010 till about 2015 or 2016, I'm not a quick study. I realized that I have been doing things all wrong for me. Like, I don't want to knock how other people do things. I was first, you know, introduced to people. You go out, you meet someone, you go out, you date them for a little bit, and then some reason or another, it's like, oh no, that they're not the one. I don't want to deal with them. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm not going to be dealing with it. And not until I'm fast forwarding through a lot of goofy situations. It came to the point where it's like, wait, I'm doing things all wrong. I'm taking the approach of waiting for things to happen or the magical geographical cure, but I had not done any work on myself to be able to receive anything. So even if someone had came into my life in 2000 or fast forward 2010 and eventually 2016 and then eventually 2019, I was doing things all wrong. I was doing the bird dog approach. I was sitting back and waiting for things to happen, not understanding the power of doing things. And I'm a big manifester of writing things out and seeing how things can happen now, whereas before, as I thought the formula, add water, stir, and things would happen for me. Now, I'm going back to the lovely conversation I had with my girlfriend, because I had been saying, well, in 4 years, I want to do this. In 5 years, I want to do, you know, saying that. She just pointed me to the direction is, well, you keep saying this, and like, I know you really want it to happen, but, you know, what are you doing to try to manifest and bring things to your world and to your life that are happening? And I told her, I'm not really doing anything. It's like, I go out on dates, and it should work, right? Like, nothing special. And she said, maybe you want to try looking more inward and just kind of seeing, you know, what am I bringing to the table? What am I doing that might be different? Now, even if I'm totally honest and saying, you know, I was not dating appropriately because I wasn't doing it right, because I was just waiting to happen. So I can be honest with myself. And I use the example too is when I had this exhaustive list of all the things of, you know, who I want to come into my life and everything there, one thing I forgot to do was trust God in the process. I decided I had all of these characteristics, this and that, but I should have had at the top, love God, faithful, things like that. And maybe not, because people are good at disguising, you know, where they're really at. So some things that I did want to say I changed up and did differently is I changed what exactly I was looking for on my dating profile. My first time I did a dating profile, I did all the characteristic things and broke it down. But what kind of changed for me, and it may be different for other people's experiences, I eliminated the parameter of casual dating, long-term commitment. I just went straight for the jugular. I wanted to be married, and that's what I want to do. And I feel like living your truth is actually just that. If you don't want to be a girlfriend for 500 years, don't put it down as that's something you might accept. And that's, I'm not downing anybody that you know, says that's okay. That's fine, because it is. It's fine with whatever you want to do. Like I said, living your truth, whatever you want to do. But for me, I was trying to fit in what I thought, you know, would get me to what I want, not doing what I want to get what I want. So I always say, you know, sometimes it just takes just a clear statement from someone else, because literally, I don't know how many more years I would have been saying, you know, in 4 years of that, if somebody wouldn't have stopped me, because I just gotten so comfortable with the narrative that, oh, I'm in a big city, I'm going to meet someone, I'm going to get married. And being that my profession is in, you know, counseling, you know, I kind of like falsely thought, well, you know, I've been getting some of this stuff by proxy and you know, doing, you know, anytime you want to become a counselor, you have to go do counseling yourself. You
right.
know, so
it's
like,
oh, right.
I know what I'm doing wrong. But essentially what I was doing wrong is I wasn't being 100% honest to the point of, you may not get any dates because you might be too real as far as what you want. And what kind of happened pivotal for me, you know, I did have a real strong, my father's very strong in my life. And so I used to have a good, you know, sounding post to talk with. And he shared with me with one gentleman I was dating, you know, if you guys are supposed to be, you'll know. And that always stuck with me because he always said, when you know, you know. There's not going to be a debate or you need verification from other people. And just another note to say is that's something I hate when other people ask you, what do you feel about this important person in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's not a good thing to do, not the most optimal thing to do, because what you do is you set yourself up with, again, trying to find out what other people want for you. If you
right.
get to the point you want to ask someone about, you know, who you're dating, I always say that that might be the wrong time, because obviously you have some doubts.
Yeah.
So it's an unnatural thing too, because you want other people to like who you like
right.
and love, but I think sometimes, you know, people just talk about the intuition and different things like that. But sometimes the fact that you're formulating the words to ask somebody else about somebody you care about, to me, sometimes that's a validation of you're not quite sure. And I just kind of craft it. And when I work with persons, the Center for Renewed Minds, that's a place I work with. We try to work on dealing with persons who are dealing with trauma and anxieties,
yeah.
but I'm thinking more of the anxiety of not being married, because I am, you know, a woman, but now that I'm married and things like that, I try to instill, if persons are asking for it, because not everybody is asking for it, you have to make sure what people are asking, I try to instill hope and validation to persons to know that, you know, they are enough. And whatever they would like, that's what they need to seek, and kind of let some things go that don't 100% fit with what they're aligned with, what they want in a relationship.
You are a treasure, and everything you're saying is beyond beautiful. I mean, there's so much I want us to talk about in what you are saying, because I was talking to an elder recently, and she was talking, I don't know, just a lot of us were talking about just different things, you know, chit-chat. And all of a sudden she said, I remember when dating used to be fun. You met a young man, you were a young lady, and you had fun. She said, all I see with you young people is drama and crying and tragedy, you know. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? This is supposed to uplift our lives. This is supposed to bless us. And when you do it intentionally, as you have shown us, it might. So that makes me think about other areas of our life. What if we have dreams? We have dreams. We have desires of our heart. We have goals and vision. And they just kind of keep getting lost. You know, we're busy, or somebody else needs us, or people don't understand what we're trying to do. How do we still make our dreams come true?
You're making your dreams come true, and I'm glad you discussed that, because, you know, I wanted to point back to, I think dating was probably fun when Trapper Keepers and stickers were the most fun on my mind. That's probably, if I can put a feeling. Like I said, that's when I was free from anxiety. Whatever the time was where the Trapper Keepers and Stickers. I think that's the last time I can think of where things were stressful. So we could, if we could put that in the date time. But yeah, talking with your elders. But the thing is, why we get so lost with, you know, our dreams and our visions or goals, because I feel like sometimes society makes us focus on so many other rubberneck situations that
right.
we feel like mm-hmm. are more important at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because hopefully we should be the number one in our life. We should be the number one priority in our life. However, you know, bills and different things jump in, or people, or as the elders say, the drama and things like that, you know, it's just so loud you can't get to your dreams and visions. Taking time out for what you want to do. I'm one of those ones. Yes, I do vision boards and manifesting. Yes,
Ooh.
I do that. Mm-hmm. So for me, the best way to dream is the good old-fashioned vision board, collage, or something. And just kind of to disclose to you that I went on a retreat before I met my husband, and I did the old-fashioned vision board. It was my dream to be married and everything, and it's all out in picture form, everything, right down to
okay.
the ring, everything there. And, of course, me being one to take something that's worked for me and bring it home, I've actually incorporated with my husband. So now we make vision boards and things
good.
Like that.
Good.
We want to
oh, good.
As family. So back to your question, what do we do to kind of foster our dream? One, stop our self-speak and self-talk about, I can't do that.
Mm.
It's impossible. I've never seen anybody do it before. And I think a lot of times we're our biggest barrier to just not taking that time to foster our dream. Go, you know, even, it doesn't have to be a tree, but, you know, I'm just using for example, sitting under a tree, sitting somewhere, getting in solitude, and just letting your mind just be free and not, you know, let, you know, worry, was it, worry about tomorrow, you know, let God handle your worry. And deal with that. Don't you do the worry. But just think about your dreams and just say your dreams out loud. With me, you know, my manifesting, sometimes if you just keep it all in your head, to me, that's where it's going to stay.
mm-hmm. Okay. I'm really excited about what you're saying, and I want to make sure we learn from it and start. You know, one of the things, I call it the get off the couch step. And I have to say, I have heard of vision boards, and I always think, I should make one of those. But I have no vision boards, so sorry about that. So teach me how to make one, please.
Okay. Old school, whatever you got. Magazines, if you like magazines, fine. But, you know, with this, with computer and things, you can do a pictorial one on a video.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basics. If you've ever done a collage,
just
take it down like that. I always say, I know sometimes when, you know, work with my clients and things like that, get rid of your fancy device planning thing, because I want you to do this board and not have it resemble a work PowerPoint project.
Okay, okay.
Back to, sometimes we do too much. It's like, mm-hmm. I want you down to the bare essence, like, this is not going to be marked up by your professor. It's not going to be one of those, okay, are you in APA format or MLA standards? Take it down to the basics. If it's a picture of a business plan or a restaurant, fine. That's the easiest thing. The goal of the vision board, how I do it, is make it simple. Make it archaic. Make it old school. Don't make it too fancy, unless that's your thing, because that could be somebody's dream board. Maybe that's their big thing. But I always think more of to strip it down, because what happens is we intellectualize things. We make it so much harder than it is. A vision board is just that, your vision. You can't fire yourself for your vision.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wrong way. And that's the beauty of it. There's no wrong way to do a vision board.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. I think that's great. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, and I was just going to say, and if cutting out papers and things like that is not your stick, maybe you're into poetry, maybe you have the gift of word or things like that, and you know your poetry, you know how it speaks to you, maybe writing that way. If you're a songstress or if you're a composer, maybe your vision board comes out with notes on a page or staff paper.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to get it out of your head.
Yes, yes. My most recent book, Mother of Nations, I literally wrote a book of poetry to help me manifest my son. My greatest dream was to be a mother, always has been. And so I wrote a book called Mother of Nations, and it's dedicated to my son. And it was released in the month that he was born. But I wrote it literally as my prayer, my manifestation of motherhood. And I love what you're saying for that reason.
I would say that was your vision book, your vision board.
Okay, all right.
So if you want to take your book and paste it on a board, there you go.
Right.
It's the same thing. You got the words, the feelings, what you wanted out. It's out of your head. So I would question you and say, what says you haven't done a vision board? You've done a vision book.
Right. I love it. You are very wonderful at manifesting. And I think all of us in these crazy and perilous times, you know, there's kind of this myth of scarcity going around. People feel defeated, like they'll never have enough money to do this or that, or they're not going to be well enough to do this and that. Or there's just, you know, a lot of people I'm meeting are just throwing their hands in the air and struggling with manifesting the desires of our heart. And I really want to have a masterclass with you about how we can become better at manifesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, one way to become better at manifesting is turn down the volume of all the naysayers and everyone else.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to manifest because, you know the rule of people tell you so many times that you can't do something, you know, time 35, it really starts seeping in.
Mm-hmm.
If we can down and tune out, you know, other people's expectations of us, or, you know, you'll never be able to do that. Why are you even thinking about that? Which is basically what you shared before. It's killing our dreams. It's killing our dreams. Because a lot of times, if you've ever heard persons, and I know you have, talk about when you're young, you know, you ask your mind, what do you want to be? I want to be a doctor. I want to be this and I'm that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first form of dreaming. And we're already there. It just takes years of living a life and dealing with other people that we start taking away our dreams. We start subtracting the things that we called out at 5 years old what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had a life of people, you know, tell us all, well, you got to do this to do that. Well, you got to do this to do that, you know. But worry is one of those things. It's going to be around where animals are comparison by nature, but sometimes you just need to turn the volume and just focus on what do you want. Forget about trying to make a 5-point plan of how to get there. Just get back to the point of this is what you want and what do you want to do to get it. And then the other stuff can work itself out. It really can.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, you're really shining a light for us right now. I think all of us, we do need to turn down the volume on the negativity. And how can we pinpoint our real dreams? You know, sometimes people give us dreams. You know, we want you to do this or we want you to do that. And one of the wonderful things I heard in your story that inspired me is that when you realized it wasn't working, you quit working it. Like, you didn't just say, well, this is how it is. I'm just going to have to persevere forever, you know. You actually stopped. And my granddaddy used to say, repentance ain't no big thing. Just stop, turn around, and go a different way. And I see that you were having a great life. You're a wonderful person. I admire you a lot and look up to you. And I see the beauty in it, that when you realize what I call it is, you're getting, life is giving you a box of consolation prizes. Like really nice things are happening to you that other people would be like, well, that's good. But it's not what you really wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do we get out of the consolation prize? Like, well, you should be happy. You got a real good job.
Yeah, I want this.
I want that. How do we do that?
Yeah, you got an education. You got this. You know, because on paper, I get where you're at with that, because on paper, I sounded great.
Right, they didn't want that life. Right.
And it's like, how dare you not be accepting of that, you know?
Exactly.
But what happens to me is, like you said, it's like you said, repentance ain't no thing you heard of. It was almost like my friend just pointing out to me my... timeline was is your timeline's done, basically,
right?
And telling me that, I kind of, that was like my first light bulb. Mm-hmm. What kind of got me in that space is I actually stopped that narrative.
Okay.
I did the stop of that, because I had hoiled a lot of stock in that speech, you know.
That's right.
You know, anybody ask you a question, well, in about 4 years I wanted to do this and this and that, it just, I never changed the timeline. That was my issue there.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's like time will creep up on you. Time will creep up on you.
Oh,
and it's just like, wait.
I know.
I need to clear the deck. I am doing this all along. And right along the time when I cleared the deck, when, you know, 2016 or 2012 was when, you know, I kind of said, I have to change my way of thinking. And it wasn't, I don't want it to make it sound too like magical epiphany, and I changed right away. Mm-hmm. It came in some waves now. So it wasn't like, okay, after, you know, that day I automatically shifted and changed. No, it was a slow roll.
Mm-hmm.
It was a slow roll. But what I would encourage persons to do is, we've already talked about taking some time out. You know, doing some vision boards, manifesting, and things like that. And this might sound crazy, but surrounding yourself by positive people.
Yes, all right. Yes, ma'am. That's important, right?
Right, because unfortunately, or fortunately, or, well, it's unfortunate, but I had to realize there were some persons in my life that...
Me too. Mm-hmm.
It's like, they're nice people,
sure,
but they're just not nice person for me. So one example, it actually, funny thing is, one of the persons who I'm speaking of, we didn't speak for years or anything like that. We're slowly getting back to being friendly again. So that was one of the persons who, before I had cut her out of my life, because I am a no drama person.
Amen.
If I have to talk above a whisper, like, we don't really need to be, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. I think I shocked my husband the other day. I said, I don't have arguments with my friends. I've never had an argument with my friends.
No.
And he just found that was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no. I've never had that. I was like, because in my mind, I want to surround my people who are happy, and People don't understand, like, sometimes you don't have to be around somebody just to be nice. If they're not positive you. So I would say eliminating some persons that maybe aren't the most positive for you. They don't feed for you. Not saying they're not good for someone else. That's fine. But if someone you're dealing with and talking to you is constantly putting out 20 negative things that are going wrong in their life and your life, you might want to look towards some other persons for friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's one thing to do, is watch your surroundings. And just even with working with persons with use issues, as far as substance use or alcohol use, and their persons that deal with the 12 step, there's the people, places, and things. I believe there's a people, places, and things rule for friendships and getting to happy. You know, you got to watch where you're around, what you're doing, because if you want to be a magnet for some good things, you got to be around people that can give that positive energy back to you.
That is so important, and I'm really glad you magnified that. Because when I hear what you're saying, what I see is that this is a lifestyle, right?
It can be, yeah, it can be. It should, if you want to say lifestyle, that's fine, or it should be a choice to live that way.
Yes, I like that better. Yes, a choice to live. Right, as opposed to just sort of drifting down the stream of what you're doing, right? Okay, this is what we did yesterday. Get up and just do it again. And then everybody complains about it, right? And then do it again. I love what you said. My choice to live.
Yeah, because, you know, when you say lifestyle, sometimes people are just like, okay, that's your lifestyle. You know, it just throws it. It's my life choice, you know.
I love it. I love this. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, no, I was just going to say, because, you know, it's just another way, you know, people want to put a category. Well, that's their lifestyle. It's like, no, it's my lifestyle. Okay. So that way you can dip and dive in different places.
Yes, I love this. I'm loving this because I see hope in it. I see joy in it. You know, sometimes I think the other day, a young lady I was talking to said, manifesting is hard. And I thought, I don't know it's supposed to be hard. I mean, but I think that when you put it in these beautiful terms, it actually sounds to me like a big adventure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let me give her an assist.
Okay.
Manifesting is hard because we have a hard time believing things can happen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're CC. We're constant complainers. We're CC, constant complainers. So maybe her statement is, maybe the statement for her, and like I said, which is, you know, everybody has an opinion. It's great. I love it. But to give her an assist, maybe it's the fact that manifesting doesn't work because we have a hard time believing ourselves because we're so skeptical.
That's right. You're right. You're so right. And I'm really glad you said that. And I think one of the quickest boosts in my life are my faith friends. I call them faith friends. Those people, you know, we have all kinds of friends and we love all of our friends. But I have a couple of friends who will just get right in there with you and believe with you. This is what you want to do? Okay, I believe in you. I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to believe. And I try to be that person to other people, you know. They tell me something, I don't go, well, you know, that doesn't work for most people. Most people fail miserably. We don't know that. They can find that on Google. What I think is, those are the people we need to be around. Not delusional people or anything like that, but just people who are like, I support your dream. I believe in you. I want you to have what you want. And I think that right now, you're being an incredible faith friend to all of our listeners.
I like that. I like that. Even saying that, I was just like, everybody needs an amen choir. Everybody needs an amen choir.
Right. That's right.
Love it.
I love that. Yes, you need that. And so let's help somebody who doesn't have that. Maybe somebody who has had some disappointments in their life, or maybe things haven't gone like they hoped they would, and maybe they don't have a great support system. How do they get their amen corner?
Well, one thing to do is when you are trying to find, because it's hard making friends when you're older. I'm going to just be honest.
It is.
It is one of the toughest things, you know, in dealing with, working with adults, you know, because when you're lonely and you're an adult and you don't have school to go through to meet people and things like that, and then I'm not going to say we're over a pandemic because we are still in a pandemic.
We still are, yes. It's still
we
here.
We still are. You know, everybody said the pandemic's over. I was like, we are still in it.
Yes.
So everybody still govern yourself accordingly. But one thing to do to find friends, finding friends and having that good person in your life, it is hard. And that is something, getting new friends is something I struggle with because what it is with old friends, you've known them for a long time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to do all that work. So when you're older and trying to find a friend, it's kind of hard because it's just like, you know, there's not a friendship committee coming to your door knocking on it, hey, we're recruiting, you know, go from that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I tell persons to do when I work with them in counseling, I'm very honest with them. You know, in counseling, this is just a counseling relationship. They don't like to hear it. I say, this is an easy relationship. You're dealing with someone who understands what you're going through. You know, it's a fake environment. It's a false environment. The trick in counseling is taking what you get from counseling and apply mm-hmm. it to the real world, which leads me to the point with finding friends. The old tried and true methods of finding something you like to do, and usually the persons that do that activity are someone you might want to be a friend with.
Great idea. Great idea.
You know, but it, and I will say with the age of the computers and the phone and the internet, it's extremely hard because there are some people who are false and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my, you know, this may be a little bit too jokey, but if any of you developing friendships has to do with a money exchange, I say no.
No, right. No, right, exactly. And I think
yeah.
that's important to say because that's a condition mm-hmm. of today's friendship.
Right.
Right. We got to talk
yeah,
about
and
these.
And I'm meaning dinners and things and stuff too. That's a money exchange and different things like that, or a service exchange.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try to be a friendship, I say the old fashioned, a situation that you like to do, and, you know, maybe, you know, actually a talk on the phone as opposed to a text or something like that to see to gauge a friendship like that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
This is so helpful, too. And I want to take it out a little bit farther because you're an expert mm-hmm. now. You have actually manifested a great husband who has been a guest on this show and talked about Christian dating and taught everyone
mm-hmm.
a lot about that. So you're the expert, and I want to make sure that our friends who are desiring to be married, I mean, there's a pandemic out there, there's catfish out
yes.
there, there's a lot of stuff happening right now, and yet, you know, there are people who the desire of their heart is to have a companion.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them right now?
I would definitely say, never take prayer out of your equation.
Right.
Never take prayer. And really try to break down your list to what you really want. I know I shared briefly earlier about, you know, I had these lists of all these things I want and, you know, made sure God was on there and make sure if you want to be married, do not accept someone as a potential spouse or mate if their bio says long-term commitment, friendship,
right.
romantic partner,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to kick it with, you know, any of those marquee
yeah.
things, because you will end up getting just that, and
right.
you can't be upset about it. Now, like I said, we know people lie and things like that, but once I changed my dating profile to married,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Christian, like it kind of everything else, you know, you don't get that many responses and requests. I mean, I'm just being honest, but it eliminates the persons who aren't really sure that they want to be married because
mm-hmm.
the signs are there. So being intentional in your dating profile is another thing to do. Like I said, you want to live your truth and want to live your life through, you know, what you really want. You got to speak it. You got to do it. And understand that speaking and doing what you want may not, you know, elicit
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of dates or responses, and be okay with that.
I love it. I love this conversation so much. We have to take a break and pay some bills with some commercials, but when we come
mm-hmm.
back, I'm going to hand you the mic. I'm going to ask
okay.
you to speak directly to our friends who are listening and give them a masterclass. And we want to get happy. We don't want to just crawl through life and hope we make it out. You know, we want to get happy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you have the floor to tell us how to do that when we come right back.
hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Wonderful, delightful guest we have today. And this show is amazing. It's really encouraging me, and I'm sure it's encouraging all of you too. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is Polly McLean. I'm a licensed professional counselor and working towards getting too happy and making sure I do what I say and say what I do.
Beautiful. I love it. Is there a way that folks could contact you and perhaps you could become their counselor or they could connect with you for speaking engagements? Who knows? I mean, we have friends who listen in 160 countries and all 50 states, so I want them to all be able to benefit from your magnificence.
Okay, I do work with the Center for Renewed Minds. You can reach me at colleague@centerforrenewedmindsspelledout.com.
Great.
And you can also reach me at McQueenColleague06@gmail.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I'm going to hand you the mic and I'm going to let you share from your heart. Please do.
Okay. If you're out there and you're wanting to try to get things to work, notice that getting happy and being happy, you know, we want you to do it more often than not. Sometimes you won't be happy, and that is okay as well, too. So I just want to know, want you to know, you want to try to go for the averages. You want to try to be happier rather than upset all the time. And one way to do that is to, one, trust yourself. And trusting yourself means what you want, what your heart's desires are. If you're a person that likes to write down, write it down. Make a collage. Do some things that make you happy as opposed to what you think other people can do. Another thing you can do is practice what you preach. If you're saying you want to find this type of person, make sure you're that person that you want to attract as well, too. And you can do that by various ways. Taking time to reflect. Get out the rat race a little bit. If you're a constant, you know, type A drive type person, I would encourage you to join the land of the gray for a minute. Take your time, have some time to, you know, de-escalate from all the world and the stress, and just work on things that make you happy. It can sound a little cliche-ish and things like that. Well, just be happy. I understand sometimes it takes some work to be happier because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of fruit issues and stress and strain, but taking that time out for yourself will definitely help you get some clarity. And in the dating world, clarity is something, you know, we can all take a little bit, a minute, and really reflect on.
These are good words, really good words. When you think about get to happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does happy look like? I mean, I know we watch, you know, the Instagram tells you happy is this, or TikTok says happy.
We started
that
on Instagram. I purposely didn't say anything about Instagram, but I'll give my 2 cents, and I know my 2 cents ain't worth much, but it's a fake world, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of my speech.
Okay. And see, that's so important.
That's it. That's it. If you're trying to get happy by living up to a fake Instagram image or something like that, it's too much. Like I said, Instagram is it's a good tool. Let me preface that. I don't want to say it's all bad. It's a great tool when used the right way. Just like food's a great tool when it's used in the right way. You know,
right?
It's just we're just constantly digesting the Instagram, the TikTok, the everything there. That at the end of the day, just talk to someone. Call someone directly on the phone. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not opposed to the Instagram and things like that, but Instagram is just that. It's what it is. It's a platform. It's great. It's wonderful when used correctly.
One of the things that I always think about, I love social media because it lets me stay in touch with people that I love, and I think that's wonderful. But it reminds me of one time I saw a toy. And it was and on the side of the toy, it said, for entertainment purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we have to remember that there's a difference between, you know, fun, entertainment, this is nice to say hi or something to people, but then there's real life. And that's where all the real love is. And I think that's really important. As I think about everything that you're saying and doing, you know, how do we know when we've gotten to happy?
Okay. Here is my two-cent theory. You know you're happy is when your heart smiles.
Aww.
And how do you know when your heart smiles? I don't know. You know it.
Yeah. I love it.
So that's all my happy time, when your heart smiles.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I want everyone to have that moment where their heart smiles. And I want them to then once we have our heart's desires, I really want us to help our friends get theirs, you know? So how can we support and help our friends? Because I think that's important to be a good, yes, we want to receive the desires of our heart. We want our hearts to smile. But if we really have people in our lives, our children, our friends, our family members, we want their hearts to smile too. So how can we be helpful and supportive without becoming codependent?
Okay. Easiest thing I say is basic anatomy. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should be listening more than we're talking. If you're utilizing your ears more, I think you have a better shot of being a supportive friend. If you're finding yourself using your tongue more, I would say you might want to ease up on it a bit.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you for that. That is beautiful. It's a great way to live. And now, once we get to happy, I think there's another factor, and I've never heard anybody really talk about this, but I'd like to ask you about it. I think sometimes you have to protect your peace. You have to protect your blessings, and I don't mean that in a compulsive way or anything like that, but I mean, once you get to happy, you want to stay there. How do we do that?
Well, staying with anything we want to stay constant, it's the same principle of trying to develop it as a habit.
Wow.
It may sound a little far-fetched, but, you know, if you can try to do the things that make you happy or make your heart smile, you want to do more of it and do it more often. So just trying to, because you're going to have the bad days, and I just want to make sure it's known, like trying to get to happy, that's great. But in the midst of trying to get happy, you're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be upset. There's no, you know, somehow it's gotten to this feeling sometimes, I think, people are like, oh, I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. Well, I want you to enjoy being happy, but understand you're going to have other emotions too, and that is okay, as long as you can bounce back to it. But staying happy is some of the things we spoke about before is, you know, being around the people that are happy will generally give you a better chance of having happiness or happiness. If you keep going into the pits of the people that, you know, the doom and glooms, the, you know, everything is, you know, woe is me and woe is you and woe is us and it's a pandemic, you know, you're probably not going to be able to be happy. But if you could kind of just kind of look at your life as, all right, if I do more of this, there's a chance I might be happier sometimes. And accepting the fact that, you know, have your 24-hour pity party. You know, I shared this with my mom. I shared this with others. You know, if you're going to be upset and angry for, you know, your time, make it time limited. Have your pity party, do whatever you need to do, but get off of it and get back to it.
Right.
You know, if you want to be angry and upset, you know, have your time for it. Be away from other people. Now, I say, when you're having your pity party and happy time, whatever, stay to yourself and do that. Do your angry and upsetness on your own time. Don't bring company to it. And, you know, don't have a e-bike for your misery. Just misery don't like company. Don't keep your anger and stuff to yourself. But getting happy, you know, staying, you know, trying to stay happy and things like that, because it is hard. Just like with relationships. Okay, now what? You get in a relationship. How you keep your relationship good?
Right.
It requires work. Happiness, the same thing. A little bit of work.
My granddad used to say, if you're going through hell, don't stop and make pancakes. Keep going.
Oh, I like
and
that.
I think so.
Well, you got to have rain for a rainbow. You got to have rain for a rainbow. So you got to have a little bit of something go on.
I also love what you're saying, too, because so often, I'm sure you've noticed this, but, you know, we all love the movies and we get our hot chocolate and we watch a movie. And they always end when the couple gets together. Right? Like the movie goes, they lived happily ever after. It always ends with, oh, there's the wedding, or they're going to be together. Oh, how wonderful. Or they had a baby. Oh, how good. Or, oh, they got their business started. Oh, how wonderful. And then the movie goes off.
Yeah.
And
you're left like, what? Now what?
Right. And so I think for a lot of people, they haven't thought about the now what. You know, like that, you know.
Right.
You know, happily ever after, yes, is happily ever after. But, you know, you're still going to have ups and downs. Things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And so how do we think about our blessings? Like, how do we, what we've manifested them, the vision board has worked, the Amen Corner helped us, the faith friends helped us, we have our blessings and all of that. But how do we think about our blessings without anxiety? Like, I know people who actually have sabotaged really nice relationships, I thought, because they were afraid, well, it's just going to end anyway, or he's just going to leave anyway, or they've messed up, they've gotten that good job, and then they're messing it up. So what do we do to avoid that sense of,
oh, things can't always go well, or oh, well, you know, and actually self-sabotage our blessings.
Well, yeah, because, and I'm glad you said that, because there is the other foot to drop. It's almost like I said before, say what you do, what you say, and having that faith, that's a part of it, too. And it's like that unsureness, and, you know, with God, it's faith or fear. You can't straddle both. Which
mm-hmm.
way are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And just getting them to the fact to be more on the faith side. And like I said, saying it is, it's hard. I'm not discounting it's harder too, but if you can play the averages of trying to do something that can take your mind off your worries, some persons do service, help others, that can work as well too, but try not to be, you know, take the blocks and gloves off yourself
mm-hmm.
for time, because we're always, you know, that's what depression and anxiety, and that's that punching inward stuff. Taking some of that blame off yourself, because we're not perfect people. We're not perfect at all. And so maybe just kind of shifting that perfect mentality, like, oh, yeah, let me hurry up and end this relationship because I know they're going to go ahead and break up with me because something always goes wrong. Stop that script. You write your own script.
Mm-hmm.
Write your own script. And it's a hard thing to do. Like I said, this was some time it took me to kind of change my mindset and, you know, do things a little bit differently instead of, you know, feeling like I'm on the conveyor belt of life and everything's happening to me. I'm just rolling through. Do more of the action myself. No, I'm gonna try this. You know, it's okay to dream. It's okay to try. It's all right. And if things don't work, try again. It's fine. There's no check and balance to say, oh, you've only done this 3 times, so don't do it again, or you've done it 5 times. That's just society saying, oh, you know, you'll never get this and that. Well, you know, somebody has to believe in you. Why not it be you?
That's right. I agree with you so much, and I'm so glad you said that. This conversation is amazing, and it has been life-changing for me, and I'm sure it is for our friends who are listening as well. Is there anything else you want us to know that we might not already know?
If you don't already know this now, if you could just understand that you are enough where you're at, you don't need 50 million tons of makeup, you don't need 50,000 degrees, mm-hmm. you are enough because you are made in His image. You're fine.
Hmm. Well, I sure needed to hear that today, and I know our friends did too, and I just want to say to you how much I love you, and I respect you, and I admire you. I think you are a tremendous person and a wonderful force for good in our world today, and I really thank you for joining me for this conversation.
I appreciate, I love, and thank you. The feeling is mutual. Anything to share and spread, good news, good things, good work, and, you know, just think about the travel keepers and stickers. You know, life was simpler. But if we could get ourselves back to the travel keepers and stickers feeling, we're good.
We're good. We're absolutely good. And our friends who listen are too. I want to say thank you to our guest today. Thank you to all of you who listen. It's a privilege. It's an honor. You have a lot of things you could be doing with your time, and you share it with us, and we appreciate it. And I want to thank our sponsors and our donors. This show is a labor of love, and people just do all kinds of things to help us stay on the air and bring this wonderful love and light to everyone. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till next time. See you then.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard. And know the bad. What's the world forgave you?
say, yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave
you. You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.